Join with me now in our first passage today, our first lesson from Genesis, the very beginning, the first five verses. Follow along in your own Bibles, the pew Bibles, or simply in your hearing, but receive with open hearts the Word of God, friends. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. The word of the Lord, my friends. Join with me now, friends, as we seek jolly things. Acts 19, the first seven verses. While Apollos, a disciple of John the Baptist, while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" They replied, "No, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Then he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" They answered, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there was about 12 of them. All right, friends. Is it still Christmas or not?
No.
Walking around the neighborhood, though, last night, I noticed there were a few houses that still had their Christmas trees up, right? Glowing festively, right? In spite of all the seasonal pleasure. My own tree is still glowing, despite my head scratching. I will say that we did leave ours up and our house decorations up because we had our family Christmas with my oldest daughter this weekend. So we did kind of want to leave it up for that. And I'm not going to ask you whether your trees are still up, beaming with Christmas decorations. There are some strong feelings about this for some, by the way. Epiphany was yesterday. Christmas, the 12 days, is over. That pear-laden tree with a partridge is packed up and left the stage with the whole song through the 12 drummers drumming. That's all in tow. Yes, Christmas 2023 was in the books when Epiphany showed up. Are you familiar with Epiphany? Do we know Epiphany? In general, Epiphany really just means seeing or beholding something. Specifically here, it is about seeing or beholding God. Biblically, it is the time when those magi or wise men or astrologers, those three kings, even though there probably weren't three, whatever you want to call them, they showed up at Jesus' front door with gifts and worship this king of the Jews. But be clear about what I just said. The Magi showed up to celebrate the young Jesus as king after Christmas. After Christmas. Jesus' family was living in a house by then. And I pointed out before, I'm sure, how the nativity scenes with wise men and shepherds gathered at the manger are, that's just not biblical. It never happened. The Magi show up at least a year later after in Jesus' life, maybe even 2 years. But that doesn't stop us from clinging to what has come before. We do want to keep things attached to the way things were. Once we see something that means a great deal to us in a certain way, it's hard to change. I get that. When Paul ran into these disciples in Ephesus, it was something similar. There's no evidence that they'd ever heard of Jesus. But they liked the message of John the Baptizer and his student Apollos, the one that he told them. So many people back then desperately wanted something or someone to fix the world. So many people back then wanted a way forward for a better life. So many people back then were not satisfied with the ways of the world and they didn't know the answer. These disciples were in the same boat. They embraced John's message of getting ready for the Messiah. They'd even been baptized as a sign of their ready hearts. They just didn't know that the Messiah had already come, that he had died on the cross, that he had been risen from the dead. Can you imagine how big their eyes must have gotten when Paul filled in the rest of the story? They must have been floored to find out who Jesus was and what he had done. The best that they had known was John's baptism of water. It's like getting invited to this huge fancy dinner, the biggest dinner of your life, and leaving after you wash your hands to get ready. They didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. Thankfully for them, they were not interested in clinging to the old ways any longer than necessary. They jumped on the Jesus train and found the Holy Spirit right then and there. Truly, they must have been stunned by Jesus. Paul certainly was when he found out the truth. The Spirit has always been part of the picture of God's work. This is the point of that Genesis reading. From God's opening words, we have the Spirit, that breath, the Holy Spirit moving creation, sparking God's work. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of our holy God, is the one through God's story making things happen, stirring people to belief, bringing God's promises to fulfillment, opening the mouths of prophets and the hands of servants, and bestowing the multitude of spiritual gifts. Here in Acts 19, we have that sharing of tongues, which is not some strange God language, but people hearing others speak in languages that they did not understand, and yet they do understand them. It's the ability of hearing believers, no matter what their home language, and receiving their witness to God's truth. It is the gift of the Spirit. Luke's book of Acts is really all about the Spirit. The whole book, the Spirit is the biggest character. The people go from being Spirit-less to Spirit-filled. This is the book that brings us Pentecost. Again and again, the Spirit surprises and delights. The Spirit is also our helper. Yes. Their Spirit is at work right now. In those places where they need jolly thoughts. Places of devastation and disaster. The Spirit is moving in places of war and violence. The Spirit is helping in oppression, poverty, hopelessness, and despair. Loving God's children. The Spirit is God's leading, comforting presence. God is holding our brokenness and hate in compassion. Each and every life in the crosshairs is precious to the Spirit, and the Spirit is a spirit of power. We may not see the Spirit, just as we cannot see the wind, but try containing a hurricane. Try standing against a tornado. Try denying the Spirit and see what happens. We do not pray in vain, friends. We do not seek an empty God, friends. But the Spirit is our life today and our hope and our salvation. Whenever we see one person reaching across the divisions that we draw and showing a love that seems impossible, you know the Spirit is there. Whenever someone gives for the good of another in sacrificial ways, in ways that defy human selfishness, you know the Spirit is there. The Spirit calls us into greater service and reminds us how precious our hands can be to the kingdom of God and to this community entrusted to our care. If you have ever shared in a God moment that blessed you in a surprising way or moved you in a loving way, then you have met the Spirit in that moment. It is no accident that the word for Spirit in both the Greek and the Hebrew, all the biblical languages, means the same breath, air, wind, Spirit. It's bigger than any of us can imagine, and it's all around us. You know, the Spirit has also summoned for us some new elders to help us as servants in the work of this church family. And we are delighted that the Spirit has called Mitzi Thaxton, Ed Cromer, and John Doss to this work of special shepherding. As they seek to lead this congregation in this service, they will also be seeking to be led by the same Spirit. Without the Spirit, we would be that empty balloon. Without the Spirit, our candles would be extinguished and our path dark. Without the Spirit, we would still be standing in the baptism of John without the actual presence of Jesus himself. But our story is even greater. The Spirit has been preparing our new elders and equipping them for this task before they even knew they would accept this mission. The Spirit was molding our new elders to get them ready. Not that they will do everything exactly correctly or perfectly or even lovingly, because we are all human beings, but the Spirit gives us room to be humans in the heart of God. Our elders have a willingness to give and to serve, but also to grow and learn and to find grace. The Spirit's role brings us together. That is the whole point of the spiritual gifts. All of the spiritual gifts, they enable us to be one. Even when we cannot understand each other, the Spirit helps us when we fail. It also helps us to seek a better way from the beginning. It helps us when we hurt each other. But it also helps us not to want to hurt each other to begin with. It helps us when we're wrong. But it also gives us room for reconciliation, forgiveness, and compassion and understanding from the start. The Spirit is God's answer for a sinful, unloving world, because God's Spirit is holy and it is the very nature of love. Following the Spirit means following God. Finding the Spirit means finding life. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Presbyterians have never really been accused of being too Spirit-filled or too Spirit-led. We've never been accused of exercising spiritual gifts to excess. But that is not the whole story, is it? We have a long, long history of working with the Spirit. Any people that values the bigness and beauty of God's family is someone working alongside the Spirit of God. Any people willing to work hard for the love of our neighbor, no matter who that neighbor is striving in the Spirit. Any people that looks for God, where God is leading them, wherever that may be, is walking by the Spirit. Any people that entrusts our future to God's Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, is a people committed to embracing our faith in the Spirit of Jesus. Yes, friends, today we value. Today we are willing. Today we look. Today we trust. Today we are in the Spirit. To God be the glory. Amen.